One of the ways that my husband Dwight and I relax and unwind is by watching comedy and improv. We really enjoyed John Oliver's show last week. Tonight, we love the Colbert Report, and we're so sad to see that go, but have really enjoyed Larry Wilmore's nightly show. And we also like Whose Line Is It Anyway? I don't know if you've seen Wilmore's show, but he loves to, he usually has a group of panelists, and he likes to raise really hard questions, difficult questions, questions you don't always talk about over dinner conversation. But occasionally, he will don alien headgear and ask questions about words which highlights how difficult it is to explain things that you think you know, especially things you believe in. And so he'll push his panelists and he'll ask them to define terms. So this morning, in keeping with Larry Wilmore's approach, I'm going to play the part of the curious space alien and ask you the following question. What is love? Or as Wilmore would say it with his headpiece on, what is love? What is love? What is love? If an alien, a small child, or someone who was genuinely curious asked you what love means, what would you say? While this exercise might sound contrived, I actually had an experience this past summer of sitting around with a group of friends after dinner. We were all nursing a glass of wine, and I had the opportunity to listen to them, and they are all friends who have gone through or are currently in the midst of going through painful divorces, and I had the opportunity to listen to them and what they were saying. I felt like a fly on the wall, but it was such an important and enlightening conversation. And they talked about what it was like to date again after years of being married. And at times, I felt like I had been transported to the set of the film Sleepless in Seattle. I remember it was at Tom Hanks asking Rob Reiner, what do you talk about? And Rob Reiner said, swatches. This was, I think, the 80s. You go out and you look at swatches and you talk about swatches. What I heard loud and clear as I listened to my friends that summer night was the following, that they and most of the people that they knew were in relationships with a lot of conditions. The smooth functioning of these relationships involved meeting these conditions. This situation left them with an almost constant feeling of insecurity and anxiety. If they said or did the wrong thing, if they chose the wrong Christmas gift, the relationship was in jeopardy. Further, if the relationship didn't satisfy or energize their partner any longer, it was probably close to being done. For my friends, and many of the people they knew, love was something with unending expectations that needed to be met. What is love? I think love is harder to define than most of us think, because we might either have an idealized conception of it or have no idea what it really means. For so many of us, parents and friends and partners have said that they love us, but their love was conditional, fickle, manipulative, or absent. We may have even bought into the lie that love is only for those who earn it, act a certain way, and meet others' ideas of what is lovely and worth loving. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday, the fourth Sunday in the Easter season, and the Sunday where we transition from looking at post-resurrection accounts of Jesus to contemplating the nature of God and God's presence and work in the world. All of our lessons today address the question, what is love, in one way or another? But I'd like to focus on two of them, our epistle from 1 John and the gospel lesson. Our reading from 1 John is most likely part of a commentary on the Gospel of John for a later generation of people who want to follow in the way of Jesus and want the Gospel of John unpacked. 1 John addresses the question, how do we know what love is? And the writer tackles this important question head on. We know love by this, he says, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. The writer of 1 John gives one way to gauge whether God's love is alive in us or not, and that is generosity. One sign we are participating in God's love is when we share our goods or our resources with a brother or sister in need. Further, love not only involves truth and action, but obeying God's commandments. All who obey God's commandments abide or rest in God, and God abides or rests in them. I imagine that maybe some of you just heard me say God's commandments or heard commandments when Sylvie read so beautifully a moment ago, and your internal equivalent of Google Translator said, obey harsh and near and unpleasant dictates from above, or something like that. But nothing could be further from the truth. God's commandments, as our Godly Play Sunday School program points out, are merely the best ways to live. Following God's commandments means for us following in the way of Jesus, participating in God's life through an intentional way of life, an intentional set of spiritual practices that help us and others live abundantly. Well, this way of life will ask much of us and involves intentionality and discipline. It will also help us live fully, fruitfully, and with joy, as God intended. In our gospel, Jesus proclaims, I am the good shepherd, and then shows us what distinguishes a good from a bad shepherd. According to Jesus, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, as compared to the hired hand, who runs away when danger comes. Jesus also states that the good shepherd knows his own and his own know him. Those who belong to him know his voice. But further, and probably shocking to those who are listening to Jesus, there are other sheep outside the fold, outside the flock, who know Jesus' voice. The good shepherd doesn't just watch over and care for his current flock. He ventures forth in vulnerability to get and bring back the other sheep, so there will be one flock. Jesus, the good shepherd, shows us what true love looks like by his willingness to lay down his life for us. He shows us a love that is sacrificial, that has the true interests of the other at heart, and that is willing to be vulnerable and to go out of its way to include those not thought to be part of the flock. Have you ever tried to love someone 24/7 for days on end. Anyone tried that here? It's not easy, especially relatives. Despite the fact that we're all made in God's image, most of us have flaws and growing edges. We can drive each other crazy with our different passions and compulsions. We know how to push each other's buttons, and our feelings are as variable as our ability to be patient. When we are stressed, low on sleep, and pulled in many directions, or unhappy with the direction our life is taking, we can do and say things we later regret. Or maybe I should just speak for myself. We are only able to love others truly and unconditionally despite our flaws and theirs because we are first loved by God. God loves us without conditions, and not because we make God feel good about God's self or meet God's expectations and demands. We are deeply loved by a God who cherishes us. The God who created and values us walks with us through all the seasons of our life, the times when we are flourishing and the times we can barely get out of bed, the times we feel beautiful and the times we want to crawl in a cave and hide, the times we are living the way God intended, living fully, and the times when we feel lost and are making life difficult for ourselves and others. God loves us as we are, both beautiful and broken. And it is only through this experience of being loved deeply and unconditionally and being forgiven when we go astray that we can love others and forgive them too. Participating in the love God offers means participating in a life of grace, in which grace and second chances are continually extended to ourselves and to others. I would like all of us to just take a moment now to just rest in God's grace and love. A love without strings attached. Imagine that. What would our lives look like if we accepted that love and then extended it to others freely? Let's just take a moment to rest in that thought. Knowing that we are loved by God for who we are frees us to cherish others for who they are, beloved children of God. Amen.